Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Many countries around the world are taking steps to reduce the amount of time young people spend on social media. And parallel to that is the rise of AI, leading some to speculate, and there is some research to back this up, that we may be about to reach peak social media. After that, use of it will decline. Really? Adrian Weckler is tech editor of the Irish Independent. Afternoon, Adrian.
Good afternoon, Sean.
So the research that the, I think it was the FT commissioned, it's a substantial, 250,000 adults in 50 countries. So you can't kind of ignore what those findings are, I would have thought.
No, and what the findings were that over the last couple of years, they claim that in September 2022 was when social media usage peaked in terms of all of us using apps like Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and TikTok, which is defined as social media. And they're making an argument that, or John Murdoch, who wrote the piece, is making an argument that the polarization, and particularly what's called the AI slop, so all those phony fake AI videos that are starting to seep into TikTok and Facebook and YouTube, that they're starting to turn people off and people are starting to, you know, retreat from social media. And it's making this case that, you know, maybe social media is, you know, it won't be the future for all of us. I think it's a weak argument, but that's the case.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, would it be fair enough to say that increasingly on many, if not all forms of social media, oh, I got a new follower and it's a bot?
I mean, yeah, that's always been the case. So there's a huge market for, you know, for bots. There was one hilarious case where there was a band on Spotify, an AI band called The Velvet Sundown. I'm not sure if you've looked at this before. Yeah, so there was a scam associated with AI bands on Spotify, whereby what you do is you use generative AI to make the music. You launch it on Spotify or Apple Music, and then you get a load of bots to click on the song, and then you collect the money, right? So, you know, bots have been, are, and will continue to be a reality. The difficulty I have with this with this research and this argument is twofold. Number one, I don't think it takes into account where people are going. So there are probably about 2% less or 3% less of people using the likes of Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok than there were 2 or 3 years ago. But they've gone to places like Discord or Twitch or Reddit. Now, people will know Reddit. Sometimes it pops up in a Google search. People might have heard of Twitch, and that's often, you know, you might see if your kids are watching somebody complete 2 hours of Call of Duty live, that's probably on Twitch, okay? But it's 200 million users on that channel. And then Discord are these sort of private servers where it's like the equivalent of like having a WhatsApp group. So it's a smaller bunch of people, but it's not open to the wider world as much. And there's hundreds of millions of people who are going to those sites, which don't have algorithms generally and won't feed you a lot of the same sort of, you know, stuff to try and game you or try to trap you there. So I think that that's what's going on. But the general idea that we're picking our phones up less first thing in the morning or last thing at night, that's a very difficult one to argue for me.
Okay, yeah, right. So is there any social media platform that's shown any sort of significant decline in its membership or its users?
Since like Bebo or MySpace?
Since the pandemic, let's say.
Well, Facebook has probably hit its peak. Facebook says that it has, I think it's claims to have something like 4 billion users worldwide. Now, there are only 8.5 billion people in the world. So the number of people that it can, and if you bear in mind that it's not allowed in China, for example. So its growth is kind of, there's going to be a fall off there. But what you find with people and Facebook in Ireland, say, Facebook is the biggest one still in Ireland. There are still supposedly 3.5 million people on Facebook in Ireland. But what happens there is that when they get tired of Facebook, they say they're quitting social media, they go on to Instagram. So Instagram is the biggest gainer at the moment. If you are, for example, and not to generalize it too much, but if you are a female social media user between the ages of 20 and, say, 45, you are on Instagram. Instagram is now your main source of news, entertainment, video, pretty much everything. So what's happening is a lot of people are going from Facebook to Instagram. YouTube is always going to be there. People have... Actually, there's a short answer to your question, and it's X. It's Twitter. X has declined around the world and in Ireland. For many of the reasons we've been talking about, polarization. Also, it's just not a safe place anymore. You see all sorts of horrible extreme videos. It's not moderate, and I'm not even getting into political content here. I mean just stuff that's just disgusting or horrible.
Yeah.
It's not moderated in the same way anymore. So those guys have gone over to mostly to Threads, which is owned by Meta. So I don't know whether you can say you're sticking it to the man by leaving Elon Musk's ex to go to Mark Zuckerberg's Threads, but that's what's going on, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I suppose that the point is that you can't argue that even if some platforms are declining in users, it's not mean they're not using social media or they're not picking up their phone first thing in the morning. It seems like it's fragmenting even more than it was before.
That's basically the headline. That is what's going on. I mean, it used to be that when you're on the top deck of a bus, you would see anyone under the age of 35 or 40 on their phones, and you'd see anyone over the age of 50 looking out the window or having a chat. And now it's everyone on their phones. You go to a restaurant, right, in the middle of Dublin or Cork or Galway and Limerick, and if you see a middle-aged couple there, there's a very good chance that they're both on their smartphones, not talking to each other. It is kind of dystopian and depressing. But that's where we are at the moment. So I don't see any of that really retreating. I mean, if you talk to any nightclub owner in any Irish city, any pub owner, they will tell you that young people are not going out as much. And I don't think it's the cost of living crisis. I think it's because they're on Tinder, because you don't meet people of the opposite sex anymore, mostly in nightclubs. You meet them online on Tinder or on Bumble or Hinge or any of those dating apps. So like the idea that people are not going to use their phones as much as they have been, it kind of goes against human nature, I think. And it's a hard one to argue.
Yeah. Now, AI, will AI change this to some extent?
Is it
changing it?
Yeah, it is. So ChatGPT, which is by far the biggest generative AI app, I'd say conservatively 1 in 5 or maybe 1 in 4 of listeners to this show right now use ChatGPT every single day. I'm pretty confident in saying that. They announced a new service starting this week where they're going to allow other apps like Spotify or Uber or Booking.com or OpenTable to operate inside ChatGPT. So what they want is for ChatGPT to be the first app you open in the morning, and you will play your music from in there. You might book a table from in there, and maybe you might do your social media from in there, and that could change. That could be a real threat to the Facebooks and the Instagrams, because if more of the internet is within ChatGPT, within AI, then you may not actually leave ChatGPT. In other words, it would be like its own app store. It would be like its own smartphone. That would be the app you'd use all the time.
Yeah. Now, would you use that as an app? Are you typing things into ChatGPT, or can you say to a device, book me a table in a restaurant?
Yeah, you can do both. I mean, you can use voice with AI apps, or you can type, you can type stuff in. It also remembers your chats as well. So if you have a weird way of expressing something, it kind of gets that, and it starts to figure out what you're trying to say. Sometimes I'll totally garble a sentence because I'm typing too quickly as I'm out walking on the street or something, and it completely understands what I'm trying to say. So yeah, like it goes back to that movie Her with Joaquin Phoenix, where he was walking around with the earpiece and he had this intelligent AI assistant played by Scarlett Johansson. And that's really kind of where we're going. I know there's an AI bubble and I know it's overhyped and I'm contributing to it right now by talking about it in this way. But I'm telling you, that is where it's going, and that's where the user base is. I mean, ChatGPT says it has 800 million users, which is 10% of the world's population. So if it can do that, and if it can suck those apps into ChatGPT, that could give Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk a bloody nose.
Who owns ChatGPT?
It's OpenAI is the name of the company, and it's highly contested as to whether it's a profit or for profit or non-profit. It was started as a non-profit company, but it has raised something like $80 billion. Its last funding round was $40 billion. It's now committed to $1 trillion worth of contracts. Like, it's going to buy $300 billion of cloud computing services from Oracle. It's Nvidia is talking about taking a $100 billion stake. So it essentially at this point is a private company. Sam Altman, who's the CEO, has been trying for a while to get his hands on, you know, on the company as an owner, but he hasn't quite managed to do it yet. So the answer to that question actually genuinely is it's complicated. Yes. But it's now more of a private company than a not-for-profit.
But at the very least, it gives us a choice. Outside of Zuckerberg, Musk.
Yeah, well, the funny thing about tech and social media is every couple of years, it seems to change. If we had been having this conversation 5 years ago, I would have been telling you about this new up-and-coming service that all the kids are using, and it's going to be a big deal, and it's called TikTok. And all your middle-aged listeners go, oh, yeah, come on. All I'll ever need is Facebook and WhatsApp and maybe a bit of YouTube. And now they're all on TikTok. You'd see the amount of grey-haired people using TikTok and sending each other TikTok videos, and it's now where they get an awful lot of their video or their media instead of players and all that sort of stuff. So it changes every couple of years. ChatGPT just might be the next evolution of that, and we're talking about it now as some sort of fancy add-on that, you know, maybe, you know, sure, why would I want to create a poem with ChatGPT? That's what they used to say about Twitter. Why would I want to, you know, see pictures of other people's breakfast? But in time, as it becomes more useful, as it explains to you, for example, how to fix your leaky pipe, you know, under your sink, and can do all the things that YouTube can do, but does it in a more intelligent way, you might just start using it every day, and that might suck in other apps.
Yeah. And does ChatGPT have the same kind of dopamine algorithm kind of effect, in that it keeps pushing things towards you to make it use it again?
The only thing it does have in that regard, other than being exceptionally and scarily good at answering questions and understanding context, which is why people are now using it a lot instead of Google, is it will, at the end of every answer for you, it will suggest something else that you might want to know in addition to it. Like, if and that is a very seductive thing, because you then feel that you're in a conversation with somebody. And I've started to notice that when I use ChatGPT, for example, I'm now conversing with it. I'm now asking it to add stuff on. I'm not putting the start of sentences in because I know it knows what I'll want. So I'm depending on it more now as a source, as a guide, a source of primary pointers to information, which I can then, of course, go to myself and check or verify if I'm going to use it professionally. But it's cutting out an awful lot of time, a lot of donkey work. I now regard it, you know, the way sometimes if you're stuck in a car and you've forgotten how to open the bonnet of your car. Well, I'm exposed to my own ignorance now, but sometimes that happens. Normally, what you would do is you go to YouTube, how to open the bonnet of, insert your model car, and you watch a sort of a 60-second video. Now you do it on ChatGPT, and it's like 6 seconds, you know?
Yeah.
So convenience will always kind of trump other considerations. And if you can get to stuff quickly, if you can get comprehensive answers, and now if you can open apps, if you can say to ChatGPT, book me a table in such and such a restaurant for tomorrow at 8 o'clock, and if it can do that to you for you in 10 seconds, that's a lot easier than going and and tapping on your phone 13 times or spending, you know, 2.5 minutes, you know, on a website doing it. And that's where it will win.
Yeah. And that previous idea was really handy at the time. Adrian, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Adrian Weckler there, technology editor with the Irish Independent.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.